In this podcast, we will explore moral surveillance in religion and how the installation of religious values into human morality is one of religion's main effects. In Shakespeare's Hamlet, many characters, including Hamlet himself, change their behavior mid-scene in fear of God's wrath. Hamlet is entangled within his own moral beliefs. Throughout the play, Hamlet struggles with his own narcissism and the fear he has for the afterlife. It is this fear that drives him mad. In a quote by Hamlet, "Aye, there's the rub, for in that sleep of death what dreams may come, when we have shuffled off this mortal coil, must give us pause." This system of belief is what brings him great despair and regret throughout the play. This form of religious moral surveillance that is identified within Shakespeare's Hamlet can relate to present-day belief systems.
Hi, this is Will McKelvey, and I'm going to tell you a little backstory on what happened with our interview plan. So our plan was to interview the Muslim Student Association, but me and Calhoun just could not find the place. We probably spent around 15 minutes just walking around blocks just looking for that, and we couldn't find it. So then we came up with a genius idea to go to Target and look for people to interview. And of course, like, Target was pretty much empty except for some like weird people. But on our way out, we were like literally leaving, and we see Mike just pushing a little shopping cart. I'm like, "Yo, we need to interview Mike." And of course, we go interview him, and then boom, we get this perfect interview. Hi, I'm Will McKelvey interviewing
Mike.
All right. So, Mike, What system of religion are you part of?
System of religion?
Yeah.
Because in China, we don't have any religions. But the religion is free in China, so you can have your own religion.
Mm-hmm.
But most of people in China are socialists.
Yeah.
So, I think over 80% of Chinese don't have any religion.
Cool. All right. Do you believe that there's a way to be a good person without religion?
So you mean a good person without religion?
Yes.
I mean, it depends, because the science hasn't make sure that the God really exists in the world. So
mm-hmm.
It depends on you. I mean, some good religions can help people to, because some good religion help people to tell them to do good things, like help people.
Mm-hmm.
But some religion like let people to harm others, to hurt others, so it depends.
All right. And how would you define a good person?
How define a good person?
Yeah. Some characteristics.
About religion?
Or not even religion, just like a good person in general. How would you describe them?
So a good person, I think a good person, he should help others, try his best. So if he find someone else in trouble,
mm-hmm.
I think he should help him out. But yeah.
All right. That's it.
Thank you.
Thanks, brother. Mike gave us excellent insight on religion in China and his own personal beliefs. He commented on how he believes that someone can be a good person without religion, although religion can be used to help guide people's morals into the right direction, and that being a good person means that you support people around you.
Hi, this is Bradley Johnson. Just a little backstory on my interview. I chose somebody that really needs no introduction at Country Day. She's been working at Country Day for longer than any teacher. And this is Madame Ellis. Madame Ellis is a known Buddhist, but something I didn't know before this interview is she's actually known as a Buddhist Catholic, where her religion is actually Catholicism, but she follows the Eightfold Path. So without further ado, here's Madame Ellis and her insight on our topic.
this is Bradley Johnson interviewing Madame Ellis at Country Day School. Madame, what system of religion are you subscribed to?
Religion, Christian.
Okay.
Path, Buddhism.
Buddhist. Okay. How do you participate as a member of both the Christian and Buddhist religions?
I go to church every Sunday. In fact, I'm the minister of my church. You know the big round church on St. Charles Avenue, Unity,
mm-hmm.
with the gold
dome? Oh, yeah.
I'm in the minister there, have been for years. I study it a lot. I participate in classes. I read a lot. I work with other people. I have a mentor, two mentors, actually. And the same with Buddhism. I have a Buddhist monk who grew up in India, who was a monk in the ashram there, who came to the States. He speaks fluent English. He teaches at Tulane, actually, Ben Wren. Then I study with him on Monday evenings, and I go on retreats all the time, and then almost every Sunday afternoon I study with a group.
That's awesome.
And I do my practices every day. I meditate every day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How has your religion or religions shaped your morals throughout life?
I don't know if you call these morals, but I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't eat meat.
And
that's a little thing.
Right.
But morally, you would always look for the motives when you're going to say anything or do anything. What's my real motive?
Oh, okay. I've never thought about it that way.
And be real conscious of that and present every minute.
Right.
And then in terms of morals, the Eightfold Path in Buddhism is very strict. And so one tries to observe that.
Right. Madame Ellis makes an interesting point. She admits Buddhism has driven her towards lifestyle choices like refusing cigarettes, alcohol, and meat. But when it came to her moral decisions in everyday life, they are dictated by what motives lie behind each action. Hamlet must battle with the motives of his decision to kill Claudius. He fears that even though he would be avenging his father's unrightful death, God will still judge him harshly for his heinous act.
Madame Ellis's and Mike Lau's explanation of their values relates to Hamlet's views about morality. These views show how religious belief systems can be used as an overarching system of surveillance on their believers. Although it should be noted that they have believed that one can obtain good moral values without religion, Madame explains how she makes her decisions based on what motives support the values of her belief system. This idea of looking at what motives drive your actions relates to Hamlet's indecision when he is tasked with killing Claudius to avenge his father's murder. This indecision Hamlet holds can be identified as his religious values shining through, making him rethink his decision to avenge his father's murder because of his fear of God and the effect it will have on him in the afterlife. Hamlet later learns that his initial indecision only leads to more bloodshed and hardship. For better or worse, this is the effect religious surveillance can have on people's values and decisions.